And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. It's Community Matters live from O'Connor's Bar in Salt Hill. And we're looking at sport for the next while. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by three guests in O'Connor's. We have David Burke of Salt Hill, Dr. Cara GA, Christian Short of the Galway Bay Rugby Club, and Ollie Daniels of Salt Hill Devon FC. You're all very welcome onto the programme today. And David, I might start with you first. It's a very busy weekend on the GA front. But Salt Hill, Knocknacarry, you've had a long association with the area here.
Yeah, obviously it was Salt Hill GA when it was originally formed, and then I suppose the early noughties, the growth to Knocknacarry, the club became Salt Hill Knocknacarry GA. So the last 10 years in particular have seen huge growth in the club, particularly in our female section. Last few years we've been very fortunate. Our ladies footballers won the All-Ireland Junior Ladies, now Senior. Our Camogie team got to the All-Ireland Intermediate Final. I suppose having both our ladies teams at senior level is a huge pride to us. For a lot of guys who have played in the club who now have daughters, it's fantastic to see they still remain part of the club. But it's been an amazing journey, the likes of Salt Hill Devon, and you see Galway Bay Rugby now are the start of a different journey. From our club point of view, we'd have started parish leagues under Liam Salmon and Christy Turrell. And they put a huge amount of work in the 80s to build our clubhouse. You know, we were probably the first club, people talk about house draws, we were the first ones to do it in Ireland, £100 tickets back in the 80s, that built the Oars. I think they sold 2,000 tickets door to door. That built the Oars today, and they had huge foresight, and we're very lucky that we have the Prairie. You're now seeing, I suppose we are relatively a young club, like I look at Galway Bay Rugby now, they're starting their journey in facilities. But I suppose the growth has brought challenges for us. Particularly, with the size and the ladies and the growth in Knocknacarry, trying to keep facilities. And I suppose that's a big focus to the club now. We bought land a number of years ago up in Mincloon, and we have plans to develop it. But we're also looking at developing our clubhouse. We've also announced recently plans to develop the Prairie, lights, and put an astral surface there. I suppose our aspiration, been beside the likes of Ollie here, what they've done up in Salt Hill Devon has been nothing short of fantastic. They're fantastic local role models to have. And then obviously you've got Galway Bay Rugby, who are starting their journey. Did a wonderful event there last Friday. They have brilliant numbers. I look at our own nursery. It's like international rugby players down our nursery, and I'm sure they're Galway Bay Road, like Johnny O'Connor. I think Scott Vardy, I think there's an All-Ireland. I said to the lads, we have a rugby team here, but there's some huge overlap between the three clubs. But for me, the role model is, for our club, is trying to get where Salt Hill Devon is in terms of facilities. And we've always had fantastic relations out there. Myself, for instance, we'd all have played Salt Hill Devon growing up. And I say now, a lot of kids are playing with Galway Bay Rugby, Salt Hill Devon ourselves, and of course not Knocknacarry RFC. But look, it's a great journey, but I suppose the challenge that we have at the moment is facilities. And obviously just servicing, the membership we have, because we launched a schools programme. But look, that's kind of summary.
Yeah, but and you mentioned ladies football there. I know you weren't very involved in their great run as well.
No, I was. I won't take credit for the works of likes of Anthony Finnerty and Donal O'Connell. On the Camogie side, we had Willie Madden, Colin McGinley, PJ Kelly. No, I'm definitely going to miss names. Did a huge amount of work. I'm down at the nursery with my two daughters. Okay. I'm about 10 years away. I was involved in the senior men. We were very fortunate 2 years ago to get to the county final, lost out against Mike Cullen by a point. But we're hugely proud of our representation on the Galway team, for starting on it, which is reflective of the amount of work that's gone in by guys like Anthony Finnerty, Norman Costello, Paul Monroe. The fruits of our underage is now being seen in Galway, and we have up to 5 in the Galway senior panel, which is a huge pride to us as a club. And also on the hurling side, to have Donal O'Shea, we're the only club with representation of both Galway senior teams, which is on this weekend. I think there's Galway and Limerick and Galway Dublin, and we'll have players on both teams, which is a huge pride to us, and the four codes and the values of the club, and we're on our journey. But we're hugely proud of our Galway representation. I suppose 2 years ago at senior men's, but no, we're all, yeah.
And a lot of lads put their hand up during the previous club championship campaign to make on to the Galway senior team as well.
Yeah, look, like John Maher, like I was just reading a profile there, talking him that he's on the level of Brian Fenton. I'm sure if John is listening, he probably doesn't like me saying that, but John and Rob Finnerty and Daniel Flagg are in the last day, and Cahill Sweeney, they're you know, with the amount of injuries, the guys have got a chance and got in, and they've made a huge impression, maintained Division One, and hopefully, you know, I suppose the joy for all Galway people is we win Sam Maguire, and for us as a club, if we can have representation like that on the day, and I suppose the fun of it is the, their fathers are involved in the club and get, you know, great enjoyment to travelling around watching them.
Definitely. We're also joined on the programme today by Christian Short of the Galway Bay Rugby Club. Christian, good morning.
Good morning.
Ye are a relatively new club in terms of the other two we're talking about here. Talk to us about your journey over the past few years.
Very much so. The club was founded in 2007, and it was the Barnacky. We changed the name in 2017 to Galway Bay Rugby Club. I suppose that my involvement in the club is the last 5 years after I retired from playing, and my two boys got involved in rugby, and you know the club is thriving. We share the same talent pool as the other clubs here, and we're up to about 340 members with around 70 coaches within the club.
Wow.
So the club is developing. We currently train in McGrath's Field with the underage, and then down in Dangan, Laurel Park. So we're a bit all over the place. So it was great news to get, you know, the news that we're going to get an earmark pitch in Kingston. And there's been a huge amount of work done with the local councillors and the city council to find a place for to call home and to share with the other codes and sporting clubs within the area.
And you're one of the directors of rugby with them.
I'm the director of rugby, so I look after the rugby from under sixes to under 16s, and I do all the coach development. So working with, we've got a very good coaching panel, but look to upskilling all the players. We invest hugely in their upskilling. You know, we had 30 of our coaches on the health and safety, so with concussion being a big thing in the press, so helping them and supporting all the coaches. But then autism in sports course on last week, where we had 16 of our coaches on there, because we pride ourselves on being very inclusive. Our philosophy is smiles on faces, bodies in motion. So the kids come, we measure ourselves with big smiles, and the kids moving, so we create an inclusive environment.
I do know that there's a great growth in the club now, and you're one of the biggest expanding mini sides.
Yeah, we have grown significantly, and it's due to, you know, the bringing girls in as well. So we do, as I said, we share a big talent pool.
Yeah.
And you know, the rugby, the off-season for the GAA actually really helps. We've seen a huge improvement in the local GAA teams because of the contact element of the sport. But yeah, we work well together. We have our coaches, obviously both coach when they have kids. So, you know, it's very enjoyable, you know, going to see that and building these relationships.
And you were very involved in your own playing days yourself. Talk to us about your career. I know Connacht between 03 and 06 would have been one of the starting points of it.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I got 17 years out of the game after I was with Connacht for 3 years, then went off to Northampton for a couple of years, and then ended in France after 11 years, and came back to the West where I'd, you know, had bought a house back when I was playing for Connacht, and my boys are now here in the Bish and in the Educate Together in Knocknacara.
Definitely. France is an interesting place to play rugby, and I know things can bubble over, and we've heard some great stories throughout the years as well of that.
Yeah, look, it's a cauldron in some of the southern, you know, the southern teams when you go down to Perpignan and Toulouse, but, you know, rugby is just a very passionate sport. You know, you go down to sports grounds, they have huge, very passionate supporters, and, you know, the way rugby has gone, it's not like the old days where it can get very tense on the field. But no, look, it's France was a very enjoyable experience, and it's great to come back and, you know, bring my experience to the other lads. Like, we've got Conor O'Connell here, who's one of our players. He's been part of the club since he was six. He's in our under 16s team, who they topped the league table this year. Unfortunately, you know, didn't make it through to the final. They got beat by a very good Buccaneer side, but they're progressing nicely in the cup, and so are other youth teams.
And there's some greats of the game who have kids playing for you, I believe.
Yeah, we've got Johnny O'Connor's in the club and Gavin Duffy, Ronan Lochney. So that was great to have them in the club and giving their experience. Pete Wilkins's boys are in the club, so it's great to be able to bounce ideas off all the their experience and sound things off, and then help develop the next generation of Galway Bay players, but also Connacht players.
Definitely. Thanks for joining us, Christian. We're going to change your mic over now because I want to say hello indeed and to welcome Ollie Daniels of Salt Hill Devon. Ollie, good morning. You're welcome onto the programme today in O'Connor's Bar.
Lovely to be here.
Talk to us about Salt Hill Devon Football Club, because it has a huge history in the area. And take us back, I suppose, to the 1940s, if you're able to.
Sure. It's a nice little vignette. Thanks for bringing it in. Salt Hill Crusaders, the 40s. Indeed, a good friend of my dad's, Billy Shaw, was one of the founding fathers, and they all wore Jez jerseys, because most of the guys at that stage went to the Jez. And one of the stories that I loved was they were told they were going to be expelled if they continued to wear Jez jerseys playing soccer. So Billy went to his boss in Moons, and it was 1950, and Mr. Leach was the general manager there. He said, "Listen, guys, I've the World Cup has just come on board. We have a set of Argentina jerseys here. Do you want them?" So for 21 guineas, we got a set of Argentina jerseys, and those are the colours we've been wearing since 1950. And thanks to Billy Shaw and the founding fathers, guys like the Lillis family, Dan O'Heeslip was one of our great players, and guys like Christy Gilbert and Billy Shaw in the 50s. And then into the 60s, it was a tough time in Ireland. Lots of people emigrated. A lot of the mid-60s, the club folded. And in 1971, Finbar Lillis came back to Galway, and he and Brendan O'Shaughnessy, Jim McSpadden, Louis O'Leary, brother of our fine publican down the street, they were all the founding fathers that called a meeting in 1971 to say Salt Hill Athletic was going to be reformed. And myself and lots of other young boys turned up at the Palm Court Hotel, and the club was reformed. And what was interesting was there was a tale of two garages. 1971 saw the Lillis family use their garage as the Salt Hill Athletic dressing room, and just down the street, Devon Celtic, in the Brennan's garage, 200 metres away, two soccer clubs. So we got together in 1977. Mrs. Brennan, Tess Brennan, mother of Seamus and the TD, said, "Lads, doesn't make sense. We've got two clubs, we've been run out of two garages. We need to do something greater than this." Mm. We got together over a pot of tea and a box of Mikado biscuits, and Salt Hill Devon was formed, and we built a clubhouse in Devon Park, and we went from there. At the stories that David told about the street leagues, the things that we saw role models from the guys like Liam Salmon and others that were organizing there. So we did the same thing. We organized football in Salt Hill Park. I, Nolly O'Toole, Pádraig O'Neill, Pete Kelly, Mick Sweeney, we started every Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, and before we knew it, we had 300 kids in the park playing soccer on a Saturday morning. And then from that, the absolute explosion of kids playing the game, a little bit like the guys talked about in both rugby and Gaelic football, the same thing. Kids just want to play sport for as long as they can, at the best level they can. And from there, we had a hunger for facilities. We've been proud to, we started with Miller's Lane, built Miller's Lane and sold it to the city in, I think, 1999, and bought 40 acres of land in Drum, and we've developed 20 of them. So we have four grass pitches, a full-size 5G. This week coming, we're going to complete the floodlighting of another grass pitch, which will be dedicated to the women's game.
Okay.
Because 30% of our members are now female, so we'll have dedicated changing rooms, a dedicated pitch with floodlights, and we're really proud of what we're doing there. A couple of other things I'd just like to bring in, if I could.
Yeah.
The fives are back. We have a really vibrant five-a-sides, which makes a big difference to the village here in June weekend. Last year, the guys, Rory and his team, did an amazing job. We also have the Galway Cup, which takes place in Drum in August, which is a schoolboy and schoolgirl tournament over 5 days. This year, we have 16 girls' teams registered in March, which is phenomenal. Wow. So at this stage, we're probably looking to say we maybe need to add another day. But again, thanks to the support of the council and to Tourism Ireland and others, we have managed to make this an amazing international tournament. We have teams from Seattle, from Chicago, from Colorado, Leeds, and 11 teams from Northern Ireland, so it's worth coming to Drum in August.
And you've had some players who have gone on to represent at very high levels of sport and of soccer as well. The likes of your Daryl Horgans, Cullen Hawkins, Cullum Horgan, Vinnie Flaherty, John Russell, the list goes on.
Yeah, well, actually, what's interesting is we did a little tally there a couple of years ago. We've 62 players have been capped for Ireland, and 30 of those are females.
Wow.
So in the recent world Women's World Cup, Niamh Fahy and Heather Payne, both from this parish, Julianne Russell, John's sister, fabulous player. And there's, so there's 30 female internationals as well as, you mentioned, you name-checked people like Daryl.
Yeah.
We also have Rory Ginty, who's the first player, first Galway player to play in the Premier League for Crystal Palace back in the 90s. So, and Rory's back coaching in the club, which is fabulous to see.
Brilliant.
Him. So it's lots of really good, and it's lots, as well as the people that get to play for Ireland, there's a host of people get to play at a decent, really good level. And, you know, because of the growth in the League of Ireland Academy system, we've started to see, you know, we're producing, I think this year, 8 of our under-13s will join the Galway United Academy.
Wow.
And lots of the players through those different teams. And what's really important is, if those guys, for example, are late developers and mightn't make John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan's first team squad, we have a really interesting men's team, like Mark Ludden, Vinnie Farty, Timmy Malloy, Conor Barry are all playing at a really good level, and we're top of the Galway Premier League at the moment.
Mm.
We're also top of our second men's team, and our ladies' team are top of theirs. We have 5 adult teams, three men and two women's teams, and 33 teams in all. So,
brilliant.
Lots of football.
Ollie Daniels, thank you for joining us from Salt Hill, Devon. Christian Short from Galway Bay Rugby Club, and David Burke of Salt and Knocknacar GA. Thank you all for joining us on the programme today. Still to come, we'll have music with a local lad, Robbie Monaghan, and we'll be wrapping up the day with Frank O'Connor, Penny Cahill and Martin Cleary. All that plus lots more between now and 12 midday. A very good morning to you.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission na Meán.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to O'Connor's Bar in Salt Hill. Now, though, it's time for a bit of live music, and here is local artist Robbie Monaghan with the Galway Girl.
Well, I took a stroll on the old walk of the day. Met a little girl and we stopped to talk on a fine soft day. And I ask you, friend, what's a fella to do if her hair was black and her eyes were blue? And I knew right then I'd be taking a whirl round the Salt Hill prom with the Galway girl. We were halfway there when the rain came down on the day. She asked me up to her flat downtown on a fine soft day. And I ask you, friend, if her hair was black and her eyes were blue. And I took her hand and I gave her a whirl, and I lost my heart to a Galway girl. Da 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 da. Hard and a ticket home, fine soft day. And I ask you, friend, what's a fella to do if her hair was black and her eyes were blue? See, I travel around, been all over the world. I ain't never seen nothing like a Galway girl. Boys, I ain't never seen nothing like a Galway girl.
Well done. That is Robbie Monaghan with the Galway Girl. And Robbie, you're very welcome onto the programme today. It's all about Salt Hill, and you're a Salt Hill man.
I am indeed. I am.
Tell us about life growing up in Salt Hill. It's a great place if you are a musician and artist. Lots of beautiful scenery around the place to inspire you.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's it. Like, kind of spent my summers kind of busking around town and sometimes busking on the prom and then going swimming in Black Rock, even if it was busking in town after.
Absolutely. And talk to us, for people who mightn't know you, you've had a very busy career so far for a young man.
Yeah, I've had a jam-packed career so far, but basically started busking at the age of 11 and then was on the Late Late Toy Show in 2017. 2019, I was on the X Factor and made it to the semi-finals. I actually managed to sing with Nicole Scherzinger as well.
Wow.
It was a whole thing, it was funny. And then I had a tour planned for 2020, but sadly COVID knocked it out of the ballpark.
Definitely. It's an amazing journey so far, though. And I know you have a link to O'Connor's Bar as well.
I do indeed, yeah. I'm not sure when it was exactly, but I remember Ed Sheeran was inside recording Galway Girl. And I was basically trying to chance my arm and get him to take me inside. I was singing all the songs outside, and in the end I ended up talking to Frank O'Connor, the owner, and he just kind of said, he said I couldn't even get my family in, so there was no chance.
But you went all over the place after that.
Yeah, I actually managed to get some coverage on CNN and TMZ over in America.
Wow.
Crazily enough.
And how is the music going these days? I know you're very busy writing songs and releasing music.
Yeah, I'm just writing away and kind of doing some gigs and doing a lot of busking.
Mm. And the latest song that you're going to perform for us in a few moments, Let Me Let You Go. Talk to me a bit about that.
Yeah, it's a sad song, but funnily enough, I wrote it at home and I wrote it with my girlfriend. Now, she won't claim anything. She won't say she wrote it. She wouldn't let me put it on the credits or anything. But she helped me write one of the pre-choruses. And I just thought it was really cool to actually like sit down with her. And I've always tried to get her to write a song with me. And then I got her to, and I was like, all right, I'm releasing this song.
Wow. And it's only newly released as well. Where can people get it?
Yeah, you can stream it on all streaming platforms, on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon Music, and everything else, YouTube.
And what are the plans or ambitions for the next few years?
Become a global superstar.
Well, you're well on the way with your social media following.
Yeah. The TikTok is doing well, close to 125,000 followers. And it's just about kind of keeping it tipping over with the social medias and kind of being on top of people.
Absolutely. Well, playing Let Me Let You Go, his latest single, here is Robbie Monaghan.
I said my last goodbye last night. I held your hand one last time. I looked into your eyes and knew just what I had to do. So when you're sitting home inside, 'cause you remember what we had, don't hit me up to try to get me back. You gotta let me let you go. Leave my heart alone. Close the door and love and love and love and love and love. Let me let you go. Stop pulling on the hook. Close the door and love and love and love and love and love. Always remember that we'd fight. We were never really seeing eye to eye. That was the moment that I knew we were never gonna change. Used to listen like a fool to all your sorry I love yous. Now there's nothing left to do but just move on. You gotta let me let you go. Leave my heart alone. Close the door and love and love and love and love and love. Let me let you go. Stop holding on. Close the door and love and love and love and love and love. Gotta let me let you go. Leave my heart alone. Close the door and love and love and love and love and love.
Well done, Robbie Monaghan. That is Love Me, Let You Go, live here in O'Connor's Bar in Salthill. Coming up after the break, we'll be speaking with Martin Cleary, Frank O'Connor and Penny Cahill. That's up next.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission na Meán.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into the final part of today's programme from O'Connor's Bar in Salthill. And you're welcome back to Community Matters. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined in O'Connor's Bar by the owner, Frank O'Connor. We also have Martin Cleary and Penny Cahill as well. You're all very welcome onto the programme today. And Frank, there's a huge history with O'Connor's in Salthill. It goes back to when you came from Moylaw.
Yeah, my grandfather moved in from Moylaw in 1942. So we'd be 82 years in Salthill this year. So I currently run the bar with my brother Tom. I have so many memories going back over the years, so many different stories. There's a couple that come to mind. In 1962, my uncle Christy, a lot of my there was 13 O'Connors, there were, a lot of them were musicians, so they used to be the band at the time. And I remember telling me that Christy Moore came here when he was about 17 or 18, to the Galway races. He spotted him down in the audience. He asked him up. He sang a song. Came up the following night, sang a song. Fast forward to, I suppose, 20 years later, when my uncle Benny and my dad opened up a nightclub called CJ's. He used to perform there. There was one night I remember. It was in June, and there was thunder and lightning outside, and all of a sudden there was a power cut, and Christy was playing. It was packed to the doors, and power cut. Christy came out. All the electricity was gone, bar the emergency lighting. He said he didn't know whether he wanted to keep going. He said if anybody wanted to, so he decided that he'd keep performing. So my brother, actually Tom, held a bicycle lamp.
Wow.
on him, and he actually performed two songs, and then all of a sudden, bang, electricity came back on. And he wrote about it in his book. He said it was amazing atmosphere for the two songs, just totally in the darkness. Another memory I have is, like, Christy used to always, when he played in the nightclub, he used to come to, after he'd do a sound check, you know, we used to live up over the bar. Mm. And he'd arrive up and he'd have his, my mum would always have a table set for me to have his dinner with us. There was one night, I remember I had, it was a Friday night, I had tonsillitis and it wasn't working. I was upstairs, and in arrived Christy with my uncle Benny, and he wanted to see the Late Late, somebody on the Late Late Show, and I was sitting there. And so here's Christy Moore. He says, any chance I could turn over and see somebody on the Late Late Show? I said, no problem. I'll never forget it. I was actually eating a bowl of Crunchy Nut Cornflakes at the time. They were just being launched. So here I am.
Nutritious.
With Christy Moore, and next to me, he looks over and he says, what are them, yucks? I said, oh, they're crunching a cornflake. He said, geez, I wouldn't mind a bowl of them, he says. So the two of us are eating crunching a cornflakes and watching the Late Show. And I remember playing for Salted Devon the following day, and I said, Jesus, lads, that Christy was in the house last night. And they said, yeah, right, whatever. I've so many memories, like Tommy Fleming started off his career here with a band called Jarog. My dad said, you know, a serious talent. We're kind of always known for music. I suppose recently Ed Sheeran shot his video for the Galway Girl. It's got nearly 600 million views. It's been great for business. As I said, we're 82 years, still going strong. And it's a I'd just like to thank you, John, yourself, for picking O'Connor's as a venue. We're very humbled. Things are going really well. Salthill is booming, and it's great to be to have you guys here this morning.
And just to finish with a bit of trivia, how many lamps do you have hanging up in this place?
Guys, somebody asked me that a few weeks ago. I said, how many lamps? And I went to her and I counted them. We have 186 hanging lamps. I actually rub one every night and hope a genie appears, but I think, John, you're the genie. But it's amazing. It's a collection from my mum and dad that collected over the years. And as I said, back, I'd be third generation. There's four generations. I have four sons, Thomas, two daughters, and a son. And hopefully you keep the tradition going for many more years.
Absolutely. And thanks for having us here this morning. We've really enjoyed it. It's been a great program so far as well. Now, though, I want to move on to my next guest, because I'm delighted to say I'm joined here by Penny Cahill. Penny, Good morning. And you would have came visiting with family to Salt Hill in your younger days, and you helped save a big building and monument in Salt Hill.
That's right, John. In fact, it was probably my first visit ever to Galway. My mother was a Galwegian and went over to the UK and met my father. Met my father there and got married, but she always had a yearning to come back. Anyway, yes, so she took ill after the birth of my youngest brother. So myself and my sister were shipped off to relatives here in Salt Hill. And I remember I'd made my Holy Communion in England, and it was a fairly straight affair over there. But when I arrived here with all the aunts and everything, I couldn't believe my little purse was filled with money, which was all new to me. But I was staying with my auntie Moyne Kane, who lived in Manderley, as it was called then. It was a guest house there behind at the Galleon, the first house there in Monksfield. And I was looking out one day and I could see flames going up the window outside, inside the church. Wow. And I ran into my aunt and I said, "Auntie Maureen, the church is on fire, the church is on fire." And she ran out, and sure enough, the candle stand had fallen over there on the side aspect of the church inside the door.
Wow.
So that was my claim to fame and my first visit ever to Galway.
And I know you're very involved with the swimmers as well, and we were talking to two of them earlier on extensively. I managed to survive them, Mary Reardon and Maura O'Neill.
That's right. Since I walked the pond for years, thinking people were crazy swimming every day, but I took the plunge and cope one Christmas, must be about 7 years ago. And since then, I've been addicted, and I'm part of a group called Skippy Sizzlers.
Brilliant.
In Crab Pool, and we swim every day between 7 and 8. And yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us on the programme today, Penny. I'm also delighted to say we're joined on the programme by Martin Cleary. And Martin, you're very involved with the grounds and the upkeep of Pierce Stadium, because you're the event controller there for the past number of years. And just talk about how you came to Galway and got involved with Pierce Stadium.
I've always been involved in GAA all my life, so I'm a dub, as you guess from my accent, and still a blow-in here in Galway. But as part of my work with the ESB, I was transferred into Mayo and then subsequently down here into Galway. And I've been living in Salt Hill for the last 27 years, so naturally, having been involved in GAA and involved in GAA in Mayo, I got involved down here with Pierce Stadium, initially stewarding, helping the stewarding, then as the chief steward, and the last number of years as the event controller.
Mm.
So the event controller is required where we have any more than 5,000 patrons coming to a game. It's a legal requirement. You must have somebody there.
And it's a busy job. Just talk to us about the technical aspect of it. A lot to manage, including tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow should be a very interesting day. It was the first time ever we're going to have two All-Ireland champions down playing. I was kind of doing a check. I think between them there's somewhere of the order 200 All-Ireland medals between the panels that will be here tomorrow. So it'll be some occasion. Yeah, but for something like that, we have to, first of all, estimate the likely crowd. What are we expecting? We have plenty of team behind us in terms of the county board and the grounds people in the stadium. But my role is to bring it all together in a plan. So, like, when are we going to open the gates? How many stewards we require? Contacting the stewards, the catering, RTE will be there tomorrow. So making sure that simple things like that, any legislative things we need, any certificates for the scaffolding has to be provided, or else organising for if the drugs are coming down here, that the drug team from GAA may decide to be here on Saturday. We don't know until the last minute, but we have to prepare for all of that.
Mm.
So it's putting it all together, and the big thing is to put it down on paper as well, because that way you can look, you know exactly what you're doing, and everybody knows what they're doing, has their roles.
And you've had big concerts throughout the year, Ed Sheeran, the big one as well.
Well, in the concerts, what was happening those times was that the promoter would take over the stadium. So for something like that, the promoter takes over the stadium and they run it themselves. We would have a periphery, maybe where Ed Sheeran, we were going round to the locals and Sheeran to get car passes and things like that.
Mm. And in terms of the whole area of, you know, the big game tomorrow, you are from Dublin. Will you be shouting for Dublin or for Galway?
Somebody was stewardy, you're not supposed to cheer any team. I have to be neutral.
But there's some great memories from throughout the year, I assume, stewarding as well. Talk to us about some of the more risque ones.
Oh, I suppose I've been going back. One of the earliest one memories would be in the mid-70s, if everyone remembers, we had the Aussie Rules game here under light, which was a great occasion.
That was the Indigenous team that I was in, yeah.
And remember during that, Streakers came onto the pitch. So that happened again some years later. A Streaker came on, and I was on the sidelines, had to rush into the pitch, grab the person and throw him to the ground, and the guards came and took him away. You know? But I suppose it's some great occasions there, particularly when we had Connacht finals. And Mayo playing in particular would be a great occasion for everybody. And
is that the biggest occasion in Pearce Stadium?
It probably is, yeah. When you get a Connacht final with Mayo, definitely it brings something special. I mean, there's probably more people from Mayo living in Galway than living in Mayo sometimes, I think. But it's a great occasion. I think the other big occasion was the homecoming for the Galway hurling team after the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
That was a great occasion. I know I was down there that morning at 7:30 organising. I think I got out about 10 o'clock that night, so it was 15 hours down there helping, making sure everyone was safe. That's the big thing.
And outside of the stadium and that, what do you like about Salt Hill, or how do you keep yourself busy?
We moved into Salt Hill, I say, 27 years ago, but it's a great community. I mean, we only live up the road and we walk down. There's everything here, is the church, there's the shops, some nice restaurants, pubs, and then you have the prom. I mean, to be able to walk the prom every day, most days, and touch the wall and go on forward to the back of the golf course, the vista changes every day. It really is refreshing, and no matter how you feel going there for a walk, you're just great after it, and you get your, as my wife says, you get our 10,000 steps in, no problem.
Absolutely. Mark and Cleary, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Penny Cal, thank you as well. And a big thanks to Frank O'Connor and all the crew here in O'Connor's for hosting us today. It's been a very enjoyable programme, and thanks for all your hospitality and kindness and all the help in setting things up today as well. So thanks a million to you as well, Frank, for all you've done over the past week. And hello to your mam as well, Mary O'Connor. I know she's listening in to us, so we're thinking of her today as well. Thanks indeed as well to Mocha Beans, who supplied all the coffees and cappuccinos and kept me and Dylan and Matt fed and watered since early morning, and kept all the people here, including I believe Councillor Clodagh Higgins is here in the crowd among us as well, former mayor. So thanks to them for keeping us all fed and watered throughout the morning as well. That's it for this morning. My thanks to Doc, who put a huge amount of work into this with me and helped me out throughout this programme, and thanks to Fiona, who took your calls on reception as well. We'll be back to you again with Galway Talks on Tuesday morning next. And I'll be back with you with the best of Galway Talks between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday morning as well. That's it from this morning. My thanks to all of us and to all who helped out in this programme today in O'Connor's Bar and Salt Hill for Community Matters. We'll be back with another Community Matters in the next coming weeks. Stay safe and have a very good afternoon. Up next is Ronan Lardner with the Livewire.